The beginning of a new year just is that natural time for us to reflect on our lives, whether we really want to or not. It just seems like it's built into who we are and even our culture. And honestly, I don't think it's a bad thing as long as we don't merely dwell on the failures. I mean, I don't, if that was your list and you went through and it just looked like, oh, we have to keep tweaking because we keep failing, I don't know if that's the best way to face a new year. But in some ways, I think for me, a new year feels a lot like a clean slate, right? Again, on the calendar, it's just, you know, it's another day practically, but there's something that feels like something new. And I think we can and should look forward to 2019 with hope and expectations. And so for the next 3 weeks, we're going to be doing this series. And I hope and pray that God would show you something within, regardless of how you're feeling about this year to come, that you'd be able to say, you know what, this is my year. And for me, I think a critical part of this is being able to see, at least in part, where you're headed. And I think that requires vision, right? To know kind of where we're going. A vision has a lot of different definitions, but I'm using it in that context of foresight or to be able to conceive or discern parts of the future, understanding where you're headed. Because here's the truth, and it matters. You have no idea. If you have no idea where you're going, you don't know what decisions you're supposed to make, and you have no clue when you arrive, right? If we have no idea of which way we're heading. And so, you know, and I want to make something clear here. I'm not talking resolutions. I'm not even talking about goal setting, even though if you have a resolution, good for you, if you use this time to try to set some goals and all of those kind of things. What I want to talk about is, where does God want to take you in the next 12 months? Because I think that God component is absolutely key. Because here's the thing. God is in the transformation business. Okay? He loves you with an amazing love, just the way you are. But he doesn't want to leave you that way. Any perfect people here this morning? Because you can leave, because the rest of the sermon wouldn't apply to you, right? We all are in process. We all understand that. And so if God is wanting to transform us, I think at least a part of that process is, I think God doesn't really surprise us. I think he shows us, if we ask, those places where he wants us to change, those things in our lives that he wants us to work on, the things that he wants us to experience. And so I think, again, the new year is that natural time to be able to go, okay, Lord, to look back and to see where his fingerprints are in 2018. I think we did that last week during the breakfast, being able to share and think about those things. So this Sunday, I want to be able to look ahead, right? So when was the last time you actually asked God, Lord, show me what you have for me? What are the places personally? This isn't as a church thing. This is just you and God. Where do you want me to go? What are the things that you want me to be doing? Because again, if you don't know those things that I just said come into play, right? If you don't know where God wants to take you, then it affects your decision making, and you will have no clue when you kind of arrive at those points. We need to be seeking God's vision in our lives, because there's power in that. And again, I think it drives us forward. So listen to what God told the prophet Habakkuk. This is Habakkuk 2, 2 and 3. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on a tablet so that a runner may read it. For there is still a vision for the appointed time. It speaks of the end. It does not lie. If it seems to tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. So a little context here. So this is a short little book. It's part of the Minor Prophets. He was a prophet during the time before Babylon, right? So the Israelites were living in idolatry. They were living in sin. God was getting his belly full of the whole thing. So he was getting ready to deal with it in a way that he had never done. And so we have the prophet Habakkuk, and it's different than the other books because he doesn't accuse Israel of anything. A lot of those books, God said, hey, prophet, tell the Israelites exactly what's going to go down if you don't listen. He doesn't do this. So Habakkuk is really kind of, he doesn't speak to Israel. It's one man's kind of discussion with God about what's going on. And it's the style of lament. And we see lament in the Psalms. And here, and what lament is where we see a person bringing an issue before God and basically demanding God do something about it. So Habakkuk sees all the stuff that Israel's going through, the idolatry and all those things. And so he brings his concerns and his demands and go, God, you are a good God, so you need to do this stuff. And so we see him doing that, and then God answers, and then he comes back with another argument. And these verses come right at the beginning of God's answer to his second argument. Now, again, I understand that these are specific instructions concerning a specific vision, but I still believe that there is truth for us here as well. And before we jump in, I want to show it to you in the message because I think it's a little easier to read and deal with. These two verses in the message say this, and then God answered, write this. Write what you see. Write it out in big block letters so that you can read it on the run. This vision message is a witnessing pointing to what's coming. It aches for the coming. It can hardly wait. It doesn't lie. If it seems slow in coming, wait. It's on its way. It'll come at the right time. So the first thing I want you to notice here is write what you see, write it out in big block letters so that it can be read on the run. So for the prophet, original context, why we have it in our Bible is because Habakkuk did what God told him to, right? He said, look, take this tablet. I want you to write this down so that this will stay. But for us, I think what we have to understand is we need to be able to identify, label, describe something of what God is calling us to. If it was just you and me in my office right now and I said, okay, what's God's vision for you in the year to come? Give it to me in one phrase or sentence. Could you do it? If you don't know where you're going, then you don't know how to get there, right? So what might this be? Here are some examples. Maybe God's calling you a stronger marriage. Maybe your marriage is rock solid, but God knows that there's something more. Or maybe it's weak, and he wants you to have a stronger marriage. Maybe your one phrase is a deeper understanding of the word. Maybe you're not in this book enough, or maybe you are, but he's going, okay, you've done the devotional reading, but I want you to get deep in there and maybe do a Bible study. Maybe God's calling you for more grace and compassion for people. You roll into church on a Sunday morning, you worship him, you're good, but man, when you walk out those doors, you aren't very compassionate and graceful toward people. Maybe that's your vision. Maybe it's a greater urgency for the lost. Maybe you've done this Christian thing for a while, and now God's going, you know what? You're doing great, but you're missing the boat on this one. My personal one is a deeper and more relationships with God and others. God has been hammering this on me, and I want to go deeper in just that, spending time and understanding God and what he wants for my life, but even with other people. And God continues to call me to that. And so if you're sitting here thinking, well, those are all good and important things. Who doesn't want a stronger marriage? Who doesn't want to be deeper in the word? Who doesn't want to be more compassion for people or urgency for the lost? Well, here's the thing. God knows that if he lays all that stuff on us, we get overwhelmed and we want to give up. So I think and truly believe that he will specifically share with you and say, okay, this is what I have for you. He understands our finite human little pea brains, and we can't understand a whole lot of stuff. So he's like, look, again, if God is this loving God that wants to transform us, he understands your past. He understands where he wants to take you. He understands your struggle. So he gives us what? This is what I want you to focus on. This is what I want. Envision this. Can you see where I want to take you? And when we can grasp our brains around that, it drives us. Because here's the thing. Proverbs 29:18. When there's no vision, the people get out of control, but whoever obeys instruction is happy. In other versions, instead of out of control, it actually says the people perish. Without vision, you have no idea how to live this Christian life. If you don't know what God is inviting you to and calling you to, then what are you going to do? Every day when you wake up, you're just what? Just wherever my feelings drive me? That's what our culture says, right? Well, I feel this. Well, goody for you. That doesn't mean it's right. Doesn't mean it's true. And so we have to understand where God takes us. And so I think I want to unpack this vision idea a little bit from a story of a man that is in desperate, desperate need of vision. And that's going to be found in Mark 10, verses 46 through 52, page 823 in your pew Bible. And since I hear pages, I'll give you a moment. Take a sip of coffee while you're getting there. Starting with verse 46. They came to Jericho. As he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Thaimaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus had stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on his way. Now I realize that this is talking about physical vision, but I still think we see some important truths here. And so this lack of vision, right? The proverb said people without vision are out of control or they're perished. Well, why? How do we break that down into some more specifics? Well, number one, lack of vision robs us from blessing and keeps us in a constant state of need. A lack of vision will steal your blessings and will keep you in a constant state of need. There are an incredibly lot of people out there, Christians included, that go through life having a handout mentality. Like Bartimaeus, they live off little things that they get from others. They constantly look to people to provide for their needs when the Lord desires that they get it from him. I'm glad you're here this morning. I'm glad and privileged that I get to bring you the Word of God. But if this is the only Bible you're getting week in and week out, this is talking about you. Right? I pray and I truly work hard and try to bring you what I believe God wants to bring. But I can't specifically always talk about what you're in. You got to meet God here, right? And so we have these people, again, maybe God wants to deal with you. And again, instead of going to him, you go and you talk to your friends about it. You do this and this and that. And God's standing there going, "Look, we can deal with this thing, but you got to bring it to me." And so we become these people that, again, we just are living off the scraps of other people. The truth of today is God wants to bless you. God wants to transform you. So again, that you can turn around and you can be a blessing to others. And vision is what draws us to that point. The blind man, again, he had to live off of scraps. A lack of vision will rob you from the blessings that God wants you. And then you just live in that constant state. Number two, lack of vision will keep us out of God's plans and purposes and cause us to miss a move of God. So, you know, in this day and age, it's hard to picture this unless you've been to a third world country where you've seen truly a blind beggar. And in Haiti, they don't always take care of their disadvantage really well. And so it is. It's an incredibly sad. I mean, I have memories of this little old man, and he was there. Did you meet the first time Beth went to Haiti? And he was blind. Sweetest old boy, but he was a beggar. He didn't even have, I mean, when you live in a Haiti poorhouse, that tells you how poor. But he was just a sweet little soul, but he was blind, and he would wander around and he would beg. And I mean, you could give him a coin or a banana, and you would think that you had given him all sorts of stuff. And so this is Bartimaeus's life. He sits on the side of the road and he is totally dependent on the charity of other people. His blindness had completely immobilized him. Every day he went through the motions. None of you would identify what he was doing is truly living life. He was existing. That's all he was doing. Life was passing him by. And here's the thing. If you cannot see that God is on the move today in our country, in our world, you are not paying attention. Our God is on the move. We have so many opportunities out there, even within Richland, to spread God's love, to speak truth, to point people to the true hope that is found in Jesus Christ. Our God is on the move, and you are lucky and privileged and blessed to be invited into it. He doesn't need your help. He asks you to be involved. Why? Because he knows what it'll do for you. But if we don't move, we don't have that vision, we just go through our life, then I would argue you aren't really living life. If you are missing out on what God desires for you, and I truly think it starts with being able to understand where he wants to take you. And then finally, the lack of vision will prevent us from seeing Jesus, and instead we see problems and limitations. Where's your focus this morning? If your eyes are not on Jesus, then what it means is your eyes are on the world, and the world comes with a lot of problems, trials, and limitations. How do you walk through this life, right? So God invites you into this relationship, and he goes, okay, so if you bring me what you can bring me, we can do this. But if you really keep your eyes on me and obey, we can do this. How many times do we settle for this? Why? Because we take our eyes off of Christ. I mean, you might be the most incredible individual on the planet, but compared to what God can do, you're nothing. And he invites us to be in that relationship with him. And so when we don't have our vision, we're not looking at Jesus and seeking him, then all we see are problems and limitations. We need his vision so that we can become and experience everything that he intends for us. Because when we have the eyes of Christ, when we have the perspective of Christ, not only do we look at things around us differently, we look at people differently. They're not bothers. They are someone that God loves with a great love, and he wants to show that to them. He might want to use us in that process. So how do we make sure that we have the vision we need? I think there are three things that we see within here. Look at verse 47. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Look at that first phrase. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. Had Bartimaeus ever met Jesus before this point? It's doubtful. Right? Blind guy sitting on the wall, same spot, day in, day out, for years, just begging and hoping to eat. But somewhere along the line, people that had walked down that road had talked about Jesus. Had talked about that he was healing people. And so Bartimaeus chose to believe in Jesus' reputation. Are you? Are you? If we confess it too often, we might say it with our lips, but our lives don't seem to reflect that. We believe that God can do anything. We ask him to intervene and we want him to work and all those things. Then God gives us an opportunity and we back away scared. We keep our mouth shut because, oh, I'm not ready for that. Are you believing in Jesus' reputation this morning? I think that's the first step of vision, because why? If you don't believe in it, then why in the heck would you start asking God for a vision anyway if you're not going to do anything? And here's the thing, he knows your heart. So if you're going to ask him and go, hey, Lord, show me this vision, what you want to do. And he's like, you're not believing in me anyway. Why am I going to bother? So we have to trust in Jesus' reputation. Next line here. He began to shout out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He was desperate. And again, as a blind guy, we can see that his whole life, right? This was his shot. There was no surgery at this point. If Jesus didn't heal him, the rest of his life, he was going to go blind. And I love that, right? He's yelling out and people are going quiet. He was not going to be stopped. He was desperate for Jesus. Are you? I mean, the question that all of us have to answer is, how bad do you want this thing? Jesus and God will give you all of that. As much of him as you want is available to you. The question is, how much of him do you want? Right? And we're all broken. Paul, the Apostle Paul said, right? The things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I end up. There's a struggle. I get that. In our humanness, we're always going to have this until Jesus calls us home and then we can be fully him. But we have to choose. How much of God do you want this morning? Do you want it? He was desperate. We can't be content with where we are. I mean, if you were farther along today than you were a year ago, praise God, we give him the honor and glory, but you're not there yet. And so we see this importance in that Habakkuk verse as well. Look at 2 and 3 again. This vision message is a witnessing point to what's to come. It aches for the coming. It can hardly wait. Again, God wants to do a work in your life. I don't care who you are. This is a pad for every person on the planet. He wants to work in your life. He wants to bring transformation. He wants to break you free from sin. He wants to move you from being self-centered and selfish into a place where you are a lover of people and a purveyor of grace. He wants to move in your heart. He has plans for you. Half of the equation is already set. The other half is you. God is prepped and ready to unleash in your life. Are you going to allow? We need to follow Bart's example. Look at verse 50. So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and he came to Jesus. He threw off his coat. And get this. Again, if you've never been to a third world country where you've seen someone, I guarantee it was dirty and grubby and whatnot, because he couldn't afford it. He was not going to waste his money on clothes, right? He was going to eat. So this grubby thing, this is a sign of him breaking free from his past and letting go. And I love that. He springs forward. The guy's blind. I don't think springing forward as a blind person is a great way to go. Why? Because you can't see where you're going. It doesn't matter. Because Jesus called him out. And so he springs forward. I mean, this speaks of a deep conviction. He was letting his past behind. He was going forward in total faith, going for what he believed was going to happen, the vision that God had given. Again, sitting there against the wall, he knew that Jesus was his shot. Friend, Jesus is your shot this morning. We need to lay the stuff behind. We need to throw off our cloak. We need to spring ahead and see what God wants to do. I've asked the question before, but here it sits. How bad do you want it? This morning, do you really want to see and be all that God has for you in 2019? I will tell you, your pastor is praying exactly that for you. That this sermon just grabs hold of your heart. You run to the Father. He shows you those things, and it helps propel you deeper into him. And just a little encouragement in the process, because we know, man, it's easy on a Sunday morning to feel that, and then we walk out into that real world, and the world beats us down, and Satan beats us down. But here's the thing. As we seek God, trust in the fact that his vision will come. He will speak, just like he did it back. Look at that last phrase of verse 3. If it seems slow in coming, wait. It's on its way. It will come right away. We know that God's timing is always perfect. We need to just keep faithfully seeking him. The good news this morning for each of us is that God has a vision for us for this year. He wants to work in you. He wants to work through you. He wants to transform you. He wants to do really amazing things in the process of you simply seeking him. Again, Proverbs, confused people are what? Perish, but those that obey, that's where it's at. And so right now, before we take communion, this is a perfect time. If you've not asked that question of your Heavenly Father yet this year, I would implore you to do so. Seek him in this moment and just say, Lord, you know where I'm at. And I would even challenge this. If you're sitting there, there's no way I want to answer that, pray that prayer because I'm afraid what God's going to ask. Ask God to change your heart. Or if you aren't, your pastor is. Because that's where we need to be. We need to just humbly lay it down and go, Lord, you know the mess I am. You know the brokenness I am. But I'm going to trust in your process. Show me that vision and allow that to move me forward. Please pray with me. Our gracious Heavenly Father, God, we come before you just blown away by your love. We are so thankful for who you are and what you do. And Lord, you work in our lives, and you love us with an amazing love, and you look at us through those goggles of love and possibility, and you see what we can be if we would just let you loose in our lives, and yet you know how we hold it tight, and we hold the things of this world, and we hold on to our brokenness, and Lord, so I humbly come before you again and just ask more of you and less of me. Father, you know the places I need you, and I would just ask that just have your way with me. And I pray that prayer for all of us. And Lord, if there are those that know already what your vision is for them in the year to come, just encourage them in these next few moments. Just reassure them of your presence and your love, and that you are there, Lord. And if those people haven't asked that question, I would just ask that either today or in the next couple days that as they seek you, you would make that clear and that you would show them that, and that you would encourage them and tell them about the strength that you're willing to give them, and in that obedience, man, that's where we find you, and that's where we find our true purpose. And so again, we are humbled by your love and your goodness, and we just ask that you would come and just meet each and every one of us right where we're at and speak to our lives. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.